Welcome in to a brand new episode of Bottom Line Baseball. I'm Alex Views, and there's Jackson Ryan. What a great Wednesday morning. We are officially, Jackson, I don't know about you, but I was talking to someone about this earlier this week. It feels like that we're like 3 months into the season, but really we're just a few weeks in.
Yeah, we're just a few weeks in, and, you know, people get crazy about whether their team's winning a bunch or losing a bunch, but really in reality, if you're just 500 or better in the month of April, you're going to be in good shape. You can't win a division in April, but you can definitely lose it. So you just want to be 500 or better.
Well, I think you make a great point there, right? Because you look at the Oakland A's, the first week of the season, week and a half of the season, people are writing them off already. They're saying that their pitching's not there, the offense isn't there. And then they win 10 games in a row, and now they're tied for first place with the Mariners. Obviously, first place in the month of April is not going to, they're 9 out of 10 times, is not going to show who's in first place at the end of the season, but it just shows you really can't predict what's going to happen in baseball.
No, yeah, for sure. And you're going to have up and downs in a season. You know, whether you lose five or six in a row, it's baseball, then you're going to come back and win five or six in a row, but you know, at the end of the day, Oakland's playing really good baseball, and they've got a Minnesota team that's just coming off of COVID, so they should take advantage, and that's exactly what they did yesterday, winning a game 7-1 and 1-0.
Yeah. Another team that a lot of people are talking about is the New York Yankees. Brian Cashman on Monday, on their off day, Brian Cashman addressed the media and basically said that this team is just too talented to play the way that they have been playing, and that fans should not be worried, and that basically that they just got to get their confidence back. You know this, and I think a lot of people understand this. April is a big month. I think people say, like, let's see how we are after 40 games, right? There's always that 40-game mark. The Yankees have only played 16 games. It's a 162-game season. But if this does continue, I do think you might start seeing the conversation shift, right? Because this is going to be 11 years since the Yankees haven't won a World Series, and they haven't made the World Series since 2009. So I think that's going to be a big conversation if the Yankees do continue down this path, Jackson. I don't see where Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, and others shouldn't be on the hot seat if this continues on throughout the whole season.
Yeah, I'll say with the Yankees, it's been their pitching that's been the big issue. You know, Taillon hasn't been as good. You know, Cole's been really good, but everybody else has just been just okay. And so, you know, with the Yankees offense too, it's all power or nothing. So, you know, when they're on, Stanton's on, he's going to hit homers. When Judge is on, they're going to hit homers. You know, they just picked up Rougned Odor from the Rangers a couple weeks ago, which, you know, that's another powerful bat. So for the Yankees, I wouldn't worry too much because it's only 16 games, and, you know, for sure they won't be in last place at the end of the year.
Yeah, I just have this feeling, right, that with the Yankees, do I think they still might make the playoffs? Sure, they can. They have the talent to, right? But then it's like, to make it deep into the playoffs, I'm going to say no, just simply because you're asking too many guys to have a massive comeback year, right? Like, you're asking Taillon to have a comeback year. You're asking all these hitters. You're asking Brett Gardner, who is in most likely, he's on a one-year deal, most likely his last year playing, maybe one more after this one, to play almost every day in center field or in the outfield. It's really tough. Jay Bruce just retired. The Yankees don't have a true first baseman. They just brought up Mike Ford. Luke Voit has dealt with injuries. But it's just like, what are we doing if you're the Yankees, right? So I think that's going to be the biggest question going in. If this continues on, what does the future really look like in New York? And is this a team that is the new quote-unquote Yankee dynasty that Brian Cashman and others have been saying it is for the last 5 years now?
No, and the biggest thing for the Yankees is Kluber, too, because Kluber's not been as good so far early, only 16 games in. But, you know, if he's the Kluber back when he was in 2017 with the Indians, then they're going to be really good. But if he's just, you know, a 3-4-5 guy that has a 4-5 ERA, and they're going to have to go pick somebody else up, which means they got to go into their farm system even more to trade somebody to go pick up, you know, whoever would be available at the trade deadline.
Hey, what about the Red Sox? I'm a big fan, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, still early for me. I personally don't think they're going to be there at the end either. I think they're okay. 12-6 so far. I remember us talking about after, you know, the first three games, are they in trouble, you know, after being swept by Baltimore. So, you know, you never know. I know they're six games over 500, but if you look at that division, the biggest thing to me has been pitching. You know, Tampa Bay last night, for instance, Rich Hill can't even get out of the second inning. So, you know, or third inning from last night. And so for the Red Sox, I think, you know, they're playing well right now, but we'll see where it goes down the line.
Imagine Tampa, they're playing Kansas City right now, and Kansas City's biggest issue is going to be their pitching depth. I think we saw it last night. Brad Keller had some issues. So I think that's going to be the biggest question mark in Kansas City. I don't think they have to worry too much about their offense. Obviously, you'll want an extra bat probably at the deadline if they're still in contention. They just got to worry about their pitching and their depth in that middle part of the bullpen.
Yeah, no, pitching is what wins ball games, and especially in the playoffs, that's what wins ball games. And so they have to have Brad Keller throw well. They've got to have other guys step up, which, you know, really, to be honest, they've just been okay so far in the middle of their bullpen, like you said, hasn't been too well. I think they've got Jacob Junis throwing tonight. So he needs another good start against Michael Wacha. So, you know, this is the first series that the Royals have lost this year, but you're not going to win every series. And if they can just beat the teams in their division, then they're going to end up doing well, because the White Sox haven't even played that well, and they're at 500, only a game back from Kansas City.
Can't get the White Sox to get hot, though. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they will eventually. You know, they play Cleveland again tonight, and so, you know, they won yesterday, and you just kind of take it from there and go. But once they catch fire, win five or six in a row, then you're going to have to look up, and you'll be just like, oh, yeah, I remember the Oakland A's. You know, that were 1-7, they're going to be exactly like them coming up.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at the Nationals from 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, the Nats this year have been interesting as well. You know, that whole division's been kind of messed up due to COVID at the start of the season. But, you know, Philly's not playing as well as I thought they would have, you know, losing San Francisco again last night. And, you know, the Mets are in first place right now, only 7-5. And, you know, that division's kind of been a wash toss-up right now, because the biggest disappointment, I mean, has been Atlanta so far, being 7-10. They haven't played as well as I thought they would, especially from a pitching and then, you know, offensive perspective. Only really Ronald Acuna Jr. is playing really well for them.
Mm-hmm. The Angels and Shohei Ohtani on a random Tuesday night game against the Rangers found his way to somehow make history, as he seems to always do. But Shohei Ohtani was the first pitcher in MLB history with 6-plus walks, 7-plus strikeouts, and 0 earned runs and 4 or fewer innings.
That's not going to work out eventually. You know, the 6 walks is just not a good thing.
Out of it, though.
Yeah, he did. It is Texas, too. I don't mean that. Texas is in a rebuilding mode. So, you know, any win that they can get is good for them and their confidence. But they're really focused on getting younger guys the opportunity. Like Garcia, who used to be with the Cardinals organization, had 2 homers the night before. You know, for Shohei, it's about how does he bounce back? You know, only throwing twice. And the time before that, he ended up getting, you know, his legs cut under him, underneath on that pass ball, crazy play against the White Sox. So, Ohtani's bat, to me, is the bigger deal for the Angels than his arm right now, because he impacts the game with his bat a lot. And especially in that lineup without Anthony Rendon right now, it's a lot different. But that division, you know, Angels are right there. They're half game out. You know, and Texas and Houston are only 3 games out, and they're both under 500.
Yeah, Houston obviously had some issues with COVID as well. Bregman came back last night. I'm interested to see. I don't know. I haven't seen when potentially Altuve might come back. Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't heard anything on that. But for Houston, they've got to take care of business against Colorado. Losing the teams that are in rebuild situations are not going to help them. You know, and last night losing to John Gray, you know, and giving up 3-run homers in the 8th inning is not going to help them.
Yeah, I think the big picture here, and Houston's just going to be, how can we restructure on the fly. You saw it already with Bregman. Correa didn't go down, but Altuve and Alvarez. Correa was really the core piece of that Astros lineup these last few games. So I think it's going to be, okay, how can teams kind of restructure on the fly? And if something does happen with COVID and you lose your three best players in the lineup for about 10 days, what do you do? So I think that's going to be the big thing that we're going to start seeing teams have to hopefully not deal with. But, I mean, we've already seen it happen to three or four teams now. So I think as we go along the season, I think it's going to slow down a little bit as teams start getting more vaccines and all those things and different protocols. But I think the biggest thing for the Astros now are just simply, okay, now we're getting these guys back. We're playing. We're finishing up a series against the Rockies. The Angels coming in this weekend and just try to fight back in the division. But it's going to be a tough weekend. The Angels are hot right now. Mike Trout is very cold, though, surprisingly.
No, yeah. I mean, you know, they're 9-6, the Angels. So, you know, everybody's right there in that division. Nobody's taken off yet, which, you know, in April, like I said earlier, you just want to be right in the mix. And so every team in that division is right there. And, you know, the Angels really need to take care of the Rangers this series and, you know, win the series against them and then go in to Houston this upcoming weekend.
Mm-hmm. What's been the most surprising thing you've seen so far this season?
The Seattle Mariners at 11-7 now. I personally didn't think that they were going to be as good as they were coming out in the division, because I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when they, a team, I think it was Cincinnati, started out 5-0, and then, you know, after that they kind of slowed down. And so I would say Seattle and taking a game against the Dodgers. And then, you know, the biggest thing I've seen besides that would probably be the Dodgers-Padres series. That was a hell of a series. You know, the Dodgers, if Mookie Betts doesn't make that play, then that's a tie ball game. And, you know, the Padres are still right there.
What a play that was.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the Padres are right there. I know they're 4.5 back, but, you know, that can change at any moment. And it's going to be them and the Dodgers in that NLDS, and whoever wins that series is going to, you know, probably end up going to the World Series, in my personal opinion, because the NL Central right now, kind of flipping gears, I have no idea on that division. You know, I feel like it's kind of everybody's going to be, you know, 81-81, 82-80 may win that division. And so St. Louis hasn't really taken off like I thought. And, you know, to have Cincinnati and Milwaukee tied for first place is kind of interesting.
If the Yankees finished below 500 at the end of the season, is Brian Cashman still the GM in New York next year?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, you're worried. I feel like Yankee fans are worried too much about 6-10. You know, it just takes 1 week and they're 13-10.
Right. You know, so the question is, if the Yankees are 500 at the end of the season.
I know, but still a long season. So, you know, I'll say yes still, because I don't know who else would be out there that they would want to go get, you know, because I don't really know who's out there on the GM market. But, yeah, the Yankees are going to be fine. You know, I'm surprised even another team in that division, Toronto, they're not playing as well as I thought they would be. You know, they're only 7-10. So there's a lot of baseball left. So I wouldn't, like I said earlier, get too worried if I was a New York Yankee fan. Mm-hmm.
How have you liked Lindor in New York? I think he's really provided some extra energy. Marcus Stroman, one of the most entertaining pitchers in the game right now.
No, yeah, Marcus Stroman has been really good so far, and has brought a lot of energy to his team. You know, he also has spoken out about playing that, you know, rain delay game where they had to end up canceling that game. And so, you know, with Lindor, that's going to be a big, big help for them, especially shortstop from the defensive perspective as well, because he's made some great plays up the middle. But I feel like for New York with the Mets, if you don't hear anything, that's a good thing. You know, if they just keep handling their business and they're out of the media, then that's, or on the back page of the New York sports page, then I feel like that's good for them. And, you know, quietly, they're just continuing to be what they are, and their starting pitching is going to help them, because when you have DeGrom and you have Stroman and you've got Carrasco on the way, and, you know, all these other guys, then that's what's going to really help them.
Mm-hmm. What team do you think has really said, okay, yep, this team is going to win the World Series. Is there a team for you yet or no?
No. Because it's April. You know, I feel like – I still feel like it's going to be Atlanta and, you know, the Dodgers and the Padres and, you know, St. Louis in the NL. And then the AL, I'll take New York. I'll take Chicago. And, you know, I really don't know about the AL West. I'll probably take Oakland. And then from there, we'll have to see what goes on. I really don't say, okay, here's a team, you know, that's going to do really well. You know, like I thought Minnesota would be better right now. They're only 6-10. They're in last place in the division. So, you know, I don't really see a team yet that stands out. There's no that one team like in, you know, 17 with the Astros or 18 with the Red Sox or, you know, New York or LA or, you know, even Tampa from last year that you say, oh, okay, here's a team that has the pitching, because it all comes down to pitching at the end of the day. Like I've said numerous times, if you can pitch in the postseason, you're going to win. And if you have a number one and a number two, then you're going to be really good and have a dominant closer. You're going to be doing something in the postseason.
I think that's just going to be the biggest problem for teams this year, because in the year of 2021, with the shortened year of 2020 and all that mess that teams and players had to deal with last year, pitching is almost like non-existent, right? Like, it's just so tough this year that you get a great start. There's been a few games that were like 0-0 going to the ninth, and you're like, what? Is this possible? 20 years ago, that was normal. Now it's like, what? That's unheard of. So I think it's just going to be about who can stay healthy, who can pitch games, and the teams that can stay the most healthy and pitch, I think that's the team that's going to win this year.
No, yeah, I do too. And you know, it's kind of crazy when you go from 60 games to 162, you got to find that adjustment period again, you know, where you're going to get to the dog days of summer and it's June, July, August, and you look up, and if you have pitching, then you're going to be good. And if you don't, then you're going to struggle. And so, you know, it's kind of been an interesting baseball season. A lot of teams have had to go to their alternate site and a lot of movement, especially with us with the Rangers right now. And you know, being with the Express with the Rangers, a lot of people have been going up and down with alt sites. So, you know, you're really going to have to use your 40-man, and you're really going to have to use your depth. And then also you may see these college guys that are pitching now come up and help an organization in the postseason. Like I remember Brandon Finnegan did for the Royals back in the day. And so you may see a Jack Leiter, a Kumar Rocker, whoever, you know, come up and be in the postseason in the bullpen with a team to help get innings.
You think that's a possibility for teams?
If they're better than other guys, then yes, because you're going to have pitchers that can throw, that can do well and in big-time situation innings. At the end of the day, though, it's about who are your guys and finding out which guys are going to be, you know, in your roster that are going to help you in your future as well as today. And you got to find out, okay, who's playing well at Triple A, who's playing well at Double A that we can, you know, call up, or who's the guy at Double A that can skip Triple A to come in and help get innings, because this year's pitching, like you said earlier, Alex, has not been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been a few games where it's like, okay, these two starters can go, you know, and it's like, I think the biggest disappointment was, you know, opening day for the Mets and Nationals. You're supposed to see DeGrom, Scherzer. Like, that would have been a great matchup, right? But COVID ruined that. In 2021, usually we say, okay, I'm sick of 2020, but I guess we got still some cancellations at 2021 still. But maybe 2022, that's the year that we don't have to worry about cancellations or an abundance of caution anymore. So I think it's just going to be really tough, and maybe at the midpoint. And people always say, as it starts warming up, right, that the offense comes alive in New York or in Philly. So maybe it's just the teams that are in the colder parts of the country that just haven't been able to get started yet offensively.
Yeah, no, and kind of you're going to have times where you can't score runs, and you're going to have times where you give up a bunch of runs. And so who can be consistent at the end of the day? Which team is going to separate itself? Because everybody in April and at the beginning of May, it feels like they're all, you know, right there together. And then after that, somebody in June takes over and leads, you know, for most of the way. You don't usually have teams, you know, that lead from start to finish, right? You're going to have teams that struggle early, but you'd rather struggle early than struggle late. And at the end of the day, you just want to catch fire at the right time, because if you have momentum going into the postseason, you're going to end up doing well, because momentum is a big deal and team chemistry is going to help a lot with these teams.
We mentioned momentum and chemistry, and tomorrow we'll be dropping a special edition of Bottom Line Baseball with one of my idols, Susan Waldman, the Yankees broadcaster on WFAN for the radio. John and Susan, John Sterling, the voice of the Yankees, are the reason why I'm doing this. So it's going to be so exciting to have Susan on the podcast tomorrow, and you'll be able to hear that one. That drops in the afternoon on Thursday. So that's tomorrow. Anything else major, Jackson, that we missed that you want to mention?
No, but I mean, y'all get more in-depth about the Yankees and their struggles so far and what you expect from them coming in, and, you know, all of the Jay Bruce situational stuff of who's going to play first base. So
a great career from Jay Bruce.
What?
A great career from Jay Bruce.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially in Cincinnati. That's when he really took off.
Yeah. Great guy, too, and incredible player, incredible person. And now he gets to go be a dad. So that's his big thing.
Yep. So. And, you know, just kind of crazy timing, though, to, you know, retire in April, which was interesting. But, you know,
you got to respect it, though. He just said he wasn't performing up to his ability, you know, so good for him to own it, you know, and he was struggling at times, and he did look a little lost at the plate at times, and he admitted it, you know. He said, I look lost at the plate, you know, and that he's like, I can't do this anymore. So I respect him for admitting that, because most guys would kind of just, you know, plug along the whole season and play below average. So I think it's great that he did that.
Yep, and now the Yankees can go find a first baseman that can really help them and solidify what they want to do, because I imagine you don't want DJ LeMahieu at first base every day, you know, switching the infield around and having, you know, Gleyber Torres move around from short to second. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, and I imagine they'll go find somebody on the market right now.
Well, for Jackson, I'm Alex Fuse. Thanks for joining us on this great Wednesday. And we'll be back tomorrow with Yankee broadcaster on WFAN, Susan Waldman. She's an icon, a legend in the business. Can't wait to have Susan on. But for Jackson, I'm Alex Fuse. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you tomorrow.